Good morning. We've been saying welcome to a certain time, so how about welcome to not ordinary time, but extraordinary time. This is the beginning part of it. It's only a few weeks long here in this beginning, and some of you may know this, you may not know this, but we have entered the season of carnival, or carnival, technically. In South America and other parts of the world, here in a few weeks in New Orleans, we'll see it in its full flavor. But that's not really what it's about. The season of carnival has its origins partly in pagan traditions, but also partly in the church and in Christian traditions. And where it falls into the Christian traditions, it comes into a season of acknowledging those things that we have about us that we probably shouldn't have. Acknowledging the weaknesses of our flesh, so that when we get to Lent here in a few weeks, we'll know what we need to get rid of and what we need to hold on to. If we wait till we get to Fat Tuesday and we're about to jump into Ash Wednesday to start examining ourselves, we might not have enough time. So we're given this little season of time to allow us to truly examine ourselves and see what would the Lord be calling us to change, to give up, to take on in our life in the coming season of Lent. So that is how the church celebrates the season of Carnival. But we might often look at Scripture and we see the authors and we go, oh, these holy men and women of God. Have you ever done that? I have. I look at, oh, Paul, oh, Lord, to have the life of Paul. I mean, he went around preaching and teaching everywhere he could go. He was constantly talking about he knew his end was coming and it wasn't going to be pleasant. How about St. John, who, you know, went and started all these churches. They tried to kill him several times and just couldn't do it. You know, we can go through the list, right? But these great men of God that we find in Scripture also had a past. And they had to overcome that past. I mean, let's look at Paul, for example. He was Saul before he was Paul. And he was known as being a Christian killer. There's a title we all want, right? Sounds like somebody, you want to follow him? No, I don't want to follow him. I want to follow the man he became in Christ. How about King David? He was a murderer for the sake of an affair. There's someone we want to follow, right? But wait, what's said about him in Scripture is he was a man with the heart of God. Because God changed his life. He took what was and he changed it to what it would be. There was a turning point where following God was more important than the life we had before us. And I would argue that maybe our proclamation at the beginning of the season of Carnival, it might be our response to the psalm this morning. Here am I, Lord, I come to do your will. Lord, let me put my will aside and let me take on your will. Let me do what you would have me do, because if I do what I want to do, it's probably not going to lead to the place I need to be. There's a story by the great theologian. I've been having trouble with names this morning. I don't know what's going on in my mind, but I've been having... This is like the fourth one. Steve Harvey. Y'all know he's a great theologian, right? If you ever catch an excerpt from before or after one of his shows, he talks about the Lord. He talks about how much God has changed his life and how if God can change his life, he can change anybody's life. And so he has a story he tells I heard a long time ago. He said that there was a boat that had lost power a ways offshore, and there were three people on the boat. And the first person says, I'll go for help. They jumped overboard. They made it about 100 yards, and they sank and drowned. And the next person said, that's okay. I'm a better swimmer. I'll go for help. They jumped overboard, they made it 500 yards, but they sank and drowned. Finally, the last person on the boat said, I guess I'm going to have to go for help. They jumped in the water, they made it almost all the way to shore, and they sank and they drowned, and so then the question was asked, which one was a better swimmer? The truth is, it didn't matter, they all drowned. See, some of us look at our life that way. Well, I'm not, we talked about this morning in Sunday school and discipleship class, about, you know, well, I haven't killed anybody. I'm doing pretty good. I mean, Paul couldn't say that. I mean, he had that one left on his list. But I don't think I'm better than Paul necessarily. How about Matthew the tax collector? That wonderful disciple of Christ, but he was a traitor to his own people. Well, I haven't cheated anybody lately. But Matthew's life was changed. The story of Matthew's life wasn't about who he was, it was who he became. The story of Paul's life wasn't who he was, it's what he became. The story of David's life isn't what he was, it's what he became. And the story of our life, likewise, is not who we have been, but who we have become. What is the story of the life that Christ has created in you? But if we're truly to tell that story, we have to acknowledge the depravity of our flesh. We have to acknowledge our weaknesses. We have to acknowledge those things that take us further away from Christ and don't draw us closer to Him. And what the call of Christ in our life is to be drawn day by day closer and closer and closer to His life. And not only our life, His life in us, but our life in Him. When we walk through the world, are the evidences of our life displaying the truths of Christ, or are they displaying the truths of the world around us? This is a season for us to examine that. This is a season for us to pause and say, are the things I'm doing the things that I need to be doing, or do they need to change? Not because I'm a bad person, but because I'm not yet a holy and righteous person. I'm still a work in progress. I think that's an important factor for all of us to accept, is that we are a work in progress, but that means that there needs to be progress. It's not even enough for us to say, well, I know I'm broken, but we need to say I need to be fixed. Scripture itself tells us that Jesus did not come for the righteous. He came for the broken. He came for the ill. He says that those who are well do not need a physician. And yet He's called the great physician. If we can't acknowledge our own depravity, do we really need a Savior? I mean, what are we being saved from? If we're already holy and righteous, if life is already good and we're doing everything right, what do we need a Savior for? We figured it out. But the truth of the matter, Scripture also says that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In the first reading this morning from Isaiah, we have to acknowledge that this comes from what is known as kind of a transition point in the book of Isaiah between 1st and 2nd Isaiah. If you don't know this, unless Methuselah wrote the book of Isaiah, it wasn't written by one person because it transcends about 150 years. Okay, so it's a long period of time. But we know that by the time this passage is being written, the children of Israel are in exile. They're not living in the promised land. They're living in captivity, and they're living there because of their own depravity. They got themselves sent to Babylon. Not because God decided He was mad, but because they decided they didn't need God. And they started doing things their way. And so God's blessings were taken away from them. Not because God was being mean to them, but because they had said they didn't want that anymore. I told a story this morning in Sunday school, so I'm going to tell it again. That, you know, if I had $1 million and I told some of you that I was going to make you a millionaire, I was going to give you $1 million, and you went out the door and you started telling everybody you were a millionaire, but you didn't take the $1 million, are you really a millionaire? No. Because you haven't been willing to accept the gift that was given. In like manner, if we're going to call ourselves Christians, we need to make sure we've received the gift that's given to us in Christ Jesus before we go out proclaiming it, and that gift that's given to us is changing our lives. A little bit today and a little bit more tomorrow and a little bit more the next day. That we are being transformed into the image and likeness of Christ. I think one of the greatest assets of the Pauline writings is that Paul regularly acknowledges his own failings. When he speaks of himself being an apostle of Jesus Christ, he clearly says, one who is unworthy of being called an apostle and yet an apostle of Christ. Why is that acknowledgement so important? Because Paul understands it's not his doing that changed his life. It was Christ doing in him that changed his life, that brought him about to a new way of life, a new way of thinking, a new way of existing, and proclaiming the glory of Jesus Christ to everyone he came into contact with. That is also the call on your life and mine. That we acknowledge the work that the Lord is doing within us and we share it with others. Let me tell you where I've been, not because I want to go there again, but I want you to know that if God can do this with me, again, what Steve Harvey does a lot. He talks about being a thug. Well, I don't think I've ever been a thug. I'm better than Steve Harvey. There's some good news, right? But he realizes where he was. He realizes that there was no way for him to get out of the hole he was in except that the Lord came and took him out of that hole, and he gives glory to God that all the blessings of life that he's received come from God working in him. Are we at that place where we're ready and willing to accept that the goodness that happens in our life is a gift given to us from God? All things are a gift from God. But we must be willing to, first of all, accept them and receive them, take them into ourselves, and allow them to change us so that we might be called, and this is what Scripture says we're supposed to be called, the righteousness of God. But righteousness isn't something that we can create within ourselves. It's something that only God can bless us with as a gift that then becomes an expression of our life with him. May we journey through this season of the flesh, Carnival, and let it lead us to Lent, where we can acknowledge the things in our lives that need to be changed, and we bring focus to them. So in the season of Lent, in that 40 days of changing our lives, we can do what we're called to do. Don't get to Lent in a hurry. Take your time getting there so that the journey can change your life as it changed so many of the lives of the people in Scripture, and allow our lives to be found in him and him in us. May we all proclaim, "Here am I, Lord. I've come to do your will." Amen. Amen.